Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Becoming Her podcast with your host, Victoria McHugh. I'm so excited for this episode to come out, but I'm equally a little bit terrified. If you've been following for a while, you will know that 6 months ago, my fiance and I of 10 years went our separate ways. That's what kind of started this Becoming Her healing journey for me over the last 6 months. And it was actually this time on this day in January that everything in my life changed. So I thought that it would be the perfect day to release this episode. Now, I was actually never going to go into this much detail of the relationship, of things that happened, because I just didn't feel like it was the right thing to do by either party. I felt scared and nervous to open up about it, but the universe had different plans. I have recently just come back from a trip to the US, and while I was over there, I went to Scottsdale, Arizona with one of my really good friends, Christy, and she asked if I would be willing to be interviewed on her podcast, Love and Serve. And a couple things in my life happened and a few conversations with some good friends. And it just all came out. It felt like the right time. My intention is always to impact others. My intention is to use my pain for purpose and to speak my truth. And so I went deeper than I thought I would. And Christy released the episode about 2 weeks ago, and the feedback I had from her audience was just so overwhelmingly beautiful and supportive that I thought I would share it and open up with you guys as well. So please listen with an open heart. Know that everything I say is with respect and love to my ex-fiance, and I really, really hope you guys enjoy it and you get something out of it. As always, please leave your feedback on the podcast. Tag me in Instagram, send me your stories, share this with anyone you think it might help. And I'm gonna get on with it. I'm really nervous. Okay, enjoy.
Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Love and Serve podcast. I am so excited to be here with you this week and even more excited to share with you one of the most beautiful women I know. I hold her so close to my heart. We are actually in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. She flew all the way in from Australia. She is a beautiful soul, and if you don't know her, well, you're going to fall in love with her. In this podcast, you're going to connect to her, relate to her, feel her. And as you all know, everything that we talk about here is all about spiritual growth as well as healing. And she has an exceptional story that she has just recovered from, honestly. And she uses her story to inspire and empower so many other women and men who may be going through the same type of challenges in their lives. She is a... oh my gosh, amazing podcast host. So go follow her podcast for sure. And she is a seven-figure online sales entrepreneur, and she kicks some booty in the entrepreneur world. And she is just she's so fun. I'll tell you, she's just such a joy in my life. I'm so grateful for her. So without any other further ado, welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. We've been talking about this all week and what we're going to do together. And I feel so lucky to be here. And I feel so grateful to be on your podcast. I love your episodes. I just adore you, as you know, and I'm really excited to share everything I've been going through. And I hope that I can serve someone today that's maybe facing a similar point in their life.
I love that about you. And thank you for being so vulnerable, because I mean, Brené Brown talks so much about vulnerability and the importance of it, because it really does give us all permission to help each other heal and grow. But we have to be careful who we share our vulnerable, you know, stories with, because there's a lot of people out there that they don't deserve to hear the story. But I love that you've healed so much that now you're here to share it. And however you, the receiver right now, wants to receive it is totally up to you. But like I always say to you guys, if this story sounds familiar, if it, there's a loved one in your life that could be suffering from some of these, you know, different experiences that you hear on the podcast, share this episode because it could be a game changer for them. So Vic, let's learn a little bit about you. I know we're going to talk about some trauma healing, mm-hmm. and you've been through some serious life changes over the last, well, a long period of time, but really over the last couple of years have been pretty transformative for you. But
yeah.
You want to go ahead and dive in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think just to get a little bit of a background of me. So I'm 31. I'm Australian, obviously. I come from a beautiful family. I'm so grateful. I'm so lucky to be from that white picket fence kind of family. I'm, you know, privately educated at school. I went to university, you know, always worked, went into entrepreneurship when I was 23, which I'm so grateful for, that opportunity that came here. And then at that same age and a younger age of 21, I fell in love for the first time, as we all do. Met the man that I thought I was going to spend my life with, somebody who was completely different to me, like a more challenged soul, I would say, somebody who had a lot of hardships. And it was something that I was actually quite drawn to. I felt in my spirit that I was somebody who was a carer. I'd always been like that. I'm a real mother figure. I love people. I love fixing people. I love helping people. I love serving people. So we got together relatively young and it went very quickly. We like sort of moved in, bought a house, did all the things very young. And he was a professional athlete. And I started my business when I was 23 to actually support his career. And then at 25, he had an opportunity to play professional sport over in the UK. And so I moved from Australia to the UK. And the reason why I say that is because moving overseas was such a huge part of my growth. And it, I think, and I was saying this to your son yesterday, your beautiful son, I was saying, you know, I think everybody should move out of home or move out of their home state or move overseas and just have experience. And that was so important to me. So we both moved to the UK when we were 25. We spent 6 years there. And at the beginning of this year, we moved back to Australia and the relationship broke down. It had been breaking down for quite some time. And in January, I made the decision to walk away from a 10-year relationship with him. We were engaged for 4 years. Obviously, there's a lot that happened within those 10 years that would take many episodes on the podcast. And I know that today we really want to talk about the healing. But I made a really, really difficult decision in January after years of trying to fix it, trying to work it out, trying to change myself, abandoning myself, wondering why it wasn't working, but also doing the work and wondering why the work wasn't changing anything. And I walked away in January and I've been on this solo journey for almost 6 months. It's been beautiful. It's been challenging. It's been traumatic at times. But it's been everything I needed for this very point in time. You know, I'm 31. I've never been alone. I've never lived by myself. I have never looked after myself. And I think over the last 6 months, I have understood the importance of looking after yourself first, loving yourself first, and what people would say that self-love thing is. That's what I've learned the most over the last 6 months, and I'm so grateful for it. And it's, you know, I've learned so much.
It's so interesting because we do hear about self-love a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't, you know, they confuse it with self-care. And I just did a coaching session with a woman a couple days ago, and she's like, I literally have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I don't have any time to care for myself. I feel, you know, she was just going crazy. And we had a conversation about what it actually means to love yourself. It doesn't also mean stop giving to others. And yet, don't you think that part of your journey, you were maybe over giving in your relationship and under receiving in any way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from the minute that I met him, I completely gave myself to him in all areas, especially as a carer. I think when I met him, he had come from a lot of trauma. He had had quite a challenging, you know, upbringing. He needed love and he needed support. He needed family. And I took it upon myself. I made it my responsibility to be the person for him that he had never had. And in doing that, not only did I set an expectation of what the next 10 years would be in the relationship, but I completely gave myself away. And I basically for 10 years lived my life to make this man the best version of himself and to support him and his career, financially support him, emotionally support him, take any pain away from him. And in doing that, sacrificed every single thing that was important to me and everything that made me whole and everything that made me love myself. And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, this was a decade of these things that compounded into two really traumatic years at the very end of the relationship, into a really damaging 6 months, which then obviously led to us eventually splitting. But I just wanted to fix him. I wanted to give him everything he'd never had. I wanted to take any form of pain away. I just wanted to love him so much. And what happened was in doing that, I didn't love myself at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I hear you and we've gotten so close in sharing some of our stories together, sometimes I think we overgive in loving to compensate for what we're not receiving, right? Because it's kind of a trick. It's like a trickery, right? Because I did the same thing in my business and with people. Like, I was like the giver of all givers, but I really, really did not do good at receiving love. And yet when it's a very natural thing for when we give, there's this reciprocal energy that takes place. That's natural. That's nature. The tree gives us oxygen. We inhale it. We breathe it out. That's what the earth is meant to do for us, right? So for us, when we're exchanging energy with another human being, such as this partner of yours, you're giving, you're overgiving, and then you start giving more and you give more and you're in your body naturally believes that, well, something's not right here. Aren't I supposed to be getting back as well? You know, like you're not asking for it, but it's natural, right? And so part of your body trying to figure out what in the world is going on in all of this chaos. Well, maybe if I just add more and add more and add more and add more, eventually it's going to be enough to fill this void that I'm feeling.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think as well, I was giving so much that giving became a sense of self-worth, I think. I felt like if I wasn't giving, I wasn't worthy of receiving anything. And we know that that's incorrect. We're always worthy of receiving. We're worthy of everything because we exist and we're good people and we know how it works, you know, that sort of law of attraction, you know, we know that. So I felt like the only way I would be loved by him was to give him everything.
Which was at the expense of giving yourself away.
Correct. Yeah. It was at the expense of having my needs met. Mm-hmm. It was at the expense of showing up for myself the way that I needed to. I made excuses for why he didn't show up for me. I abandoned myself. We talk about that a lot. I abandoned my truth. I abandoned my voice because I just felt like if I'm not putting him first and I'm not giving to him and
then
I'm
not a good giver.
Yeah. Then I'm never going to be loved by him and I'm never going to be worthy of that love. I always felt like it was conditional. I looking back now, and I want to just say, I'm looking at the relationship with the lens and the eyes that I have almost 6 months being out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy now for me to see the patterns that I ran all the way through the relationship. But when you're in it, and you might be, if you're listening, you might be in it. When I was in it, Christy, I didn't think that there was really anything wrong. The red flags were just skimmed over. I made excuses, like I said before, and I thought that this was the way that it was meant to be. But now that I'm out of the relationship and I've done the work, I look back and I'm like, just so much was not okay. And I was either in fear, or I didn't understand, or I thought it was normal the way that I had been treated in particular things, especially the last 2 years, which was when it was really bad. So, you know, at the time, you just don't know. And I think I looking back now, going back to the point I was saying about conditional or unconditional love, I felt like it was conditional. It was, I will love you because you do this, or I will love you if you do this. I didn't feel like it was this unconditional, I just love you for who you are.
So I want to dive into this, because when I'm working with a lot of my clients, we go here, mm-hmm. and I've never gone here with you before, but it just came up. And I always tell people, if it's not right for you, if it doesn't feel light, it's not right. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you may not resonate with it. But I do believe that so many of the patterns that we face when we're in relationship are just repeating from our childhood.
Yes.
Okay. So I know you have a very loving family. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when I meet certain clients who are going through similar things, a lot of the times it's because they really yearn for certain recognition from a parent. And the only time they got that recognition or got that love or got that attention or worthiness was when they were achieving or bringing home good grades, mm-hmm. or the great athlete. Did that ever happen with you growing up?
Yes. Yeah, it did. And I am definitely happy to go here. And I've done a lot of therapy on this as well over the years. And it's definitely a pattern from my childhood for sure. And it was always from my mom. And you know, we have the most beautiful relationship now. And I'm so grateful that I've gone through this experience. But, you know, I was the youngest of three. And I felt like I was the one that... I had to look a certain way. I had to be a certain person to be recognized and be seen. Definitely. 100%. And interestingly enough, it was always in my looks, which is crazy. And it's a lot of work I've had to do. You know, I was a bigger child. You know, I'm 5'10", which is very tall for a woman. Well, maybe not the tallest, but it's, you know, it's more than the average, pretty tall.
Yeah, me and my 5'5", yeah. I'm feeling you. Okay.
It is tall. But I also was a bigger kid, and I felt shamed a lot from my mom about my weight. And I will tell you, I know it always came from a place of love, and I know it always came from her wanting what was best for me. But at the time, you know, you don't feel that. So I always felt like I was chasing this approval, and it was mainly in whether I was slim enough or whether I had, you know, gained weight or my looks. But then it obviously stemmed into other things, and I was like, okay, well, if I'm not slim enough, well, how else can I show up to feel that sort of love and that recognition, whether it's in grades or whether it's just, you know, doing extra chores, or whether I was trying to please all the time. And I think that 100% stemmed into the relationship, where I would do things for him wanting to be recognized, wanting to be seen, wanting to be appreciated, wanting to be
validated.
Yeah. And he didn't do those things. Looking back, whether he's aware of it or not, a lot of it was just taken for granted. And I can look back and be like, you just took me for a ride, you know, in half of those things, you know, those things that I did. So that pattern definitely carried into the relationship, and it's carried into my business at times too.
So what's really amazing about this, and that's what I love about going so deep with you, you're someone that allows the depth and you don't deny the death. And that's so big, because that just is going to, the way your trajectory is going to look in the next few years, it's going to be profound, because you can go there. But the thing is that it's so hard when we go through trauma to actually see, wow, this was a sacred contract. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I've ever shared this with you about the sacred contract story. Did I share this with you before?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So one of my best friends who had passed away years ago, mm-hmm. she had always tried to get me to read this book.
Oh, yes. You have told me this story, but
we
need to share it again.
And I never read it until she had passed and her husband had said it was by her bedside and he read it. And I said, oh my gosh, she tried to get me to read it forever. I need to read it. So of course I went and got it right away and I started reading it. I remember nothing else in that book except this one story. And this woman who wrote it is kind of like she is a psychic. She's an intuitive. And she had said that when we die and we go to heaven or, you know, mm-hmm. the universe, space, whatever we want to call it, there's all these energies around us. Okay, loving energy that is talking to us about our next trip down there. Mm-hmm. And there's a question that's asked. And that question is, so, Vic, what do you want to learn this life down there? And Vic says, oh, you want to know, I think I want to learn that I'm worthy of love and I don't need validation from anything outside of myself. And then all of a sudden, the higher power says, who loves Vic enough to be her hardest test, her biggest obstacle?
Oof, I've got goosebumps. I could cry.
And all of a sudden, that ex-boyfriend of yours steps forward energetically and says, I will be her hardest. Mm. I love her the most. And that was so healing for me when I heard that, because I had these people in my life that I felt so hurt by and I didn't understand why they had hurt me, but I knew her higher self planted that book there for me to read and to understand. And I, in that moment, healed a relationship with my father-in-law, who I always felt hated me. Mm-hmm. Once my energy shifted about him, our whole energy changed. Now that I've divorced his son, he probably doesn't like me again, but forget about that. But anyway, another episode. But Vic, I think what's really powerful here is that he showed up, and we're going to get into some of this stuff because we want people to be aware of what's going on, but he really showed up unknowingly in his physical self. Mm-hmm. His higher self knew what it was doing. His higher self knew that it needed to get you to take responsibility for your own love of yourself. And so he was never going to be able to provide you any validation.
Yeah. And so beautiful, honestly. We're both looking at each other with like tears in our eyes. I am so grateful. And I think that I need to say that, because there's no part of me that holds any animosity or any anger or any hatred or anything but love for him.
Yeah.
And there's no part of me that wished it was different. There's no part of me that wished he wasn't that part of my life. And you know that I believe that we have more than one love. I fundamentally agree. Mm-hmm. And, or I fundamentally think that, sorry. He was the most perfect person for my
20s. 100%.
That decade of my life changed me. Something I'm so grateful for is he showed me a really different perspective of the world. Because he had come from the complete opposite childhood that I did. And at the point in time where I met him, I really didn't know that there was another side of life. I thought that everyone grew up with money, and I thought everybody had all of these things. And what he showed me was true compassion, was true empathy. I think he brought out this fight in me that served me in my business, in my, you know, what I do as a coach. He taught me everything I needed to know in my 20s. But he was never, like you said, he was never going to be what I needed in a marriage or in a lifetime partner or as a father. And so I'm grateful that he was planted in my way. Like, I'm grateful that he was sent to me to do all that work in my 20s to create the version of me that I am today. But I'm so grateful that I had the courage to leave and I'm not there anymore.
So I know we have listeners right now that are thinking they just can't even relate to being grateful.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge that's a huge place to get to. Mm-hmm. Many people don't get to grateful. They're hurt. They're upset. They're angry. They're scared. They're afraid it's going to happen again to them in another relationship. They're afraid of abandonment. They're afraid of opening their heart. So they close it and they close it mm-hmm. and they close it. So some people, you're going to inspire them that there's hope. But let's just talk for a minute before we get into, we're going to go down, what does it look like when you're in a relationship and you're not there, what happens in a relationship that's not healthy? Mm-hmm. So what are some, I want you to be able to tell the audience, okay, guys, these are some things to look for.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go into what are some things we can do to have crucial conversations, mm-hmm. get a support system. And then we're going to go into the healing that you did to get to where you are.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on the gratitude part, I mean, I think every situation is different and there 100% will be people that are listening that are not in a place where I was and other traumatic things happened that you don't feel grateful for or you feel broken from. But what I'm a true and firm believer is that everything happens for a reason. And I do believe that every single person is sent to us or is in our life to teach us something that we do or don't want. And he did both for me. He taught me a lot about what I do want. And he then taught me a lot about what I don't. And so I can't look at those 10 years in my whole 20s and not sit there with a perspective of I wouldn't be who I am today without that. And that's what I hold on to. I truly hold on to that was what I needed in that point in my life. And now going into the next season of my life, which we'll talk about, you know, I now know what I do want. And that's another gift that's come out of the relationship is he taught me everything I don't want.
And it makes you appreciate when you do get something.
Oh, absolutely.
10 times more than maybe you would. I mean, yeah. If it just was something.
Absolutely.
It was natural.
Yeah. So some of the things to look for. So I think, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Can you tell us what gaslighting is?
Yes. I think my personal opinion, don't know what the dictionary opinion is or the dictionary definition is. My opinion of gaslighting is you vulnerably going to, let's talk about it from a partner perspective, but it could be a friendship, it could be anything.
Yeah,
business, but anything. This specifically I want to talk about from a partner's perspective. So you going to your partner and saying, this is how I'm feeling. You vulnerably opening up. This is how I'm feeling, which as you know, we are entitled to feel however we want to feel. No one can tell us that we shouldn't be upset or angry about anything, right? We feel the way that we feel and that's our right. Mm-hmm. And that person coming to you and basically turning it around and putting the blame back on you. So let's say I come to you, Christy, and I say, Christy, what you said to me really upset me. It really hurt my feelings. And I just want to let you know that I really don't appreciate when you speak to me like that. And you coming back and saying, well, I think that's a you problem, Victoria. That's not a me problem. I think you should probably go get some therapy. And I think you should probably read a book and figure out what's going on in your world because I didn't do anything.
Mm.
And then you, Christy, going and saying, yeah, you're right. It is a me thing.
Mm.
It is a me thing.
Can we just stop for a moment? Because I think a lot of people need to digest that for a second. Because I think that happens more so than we realize. Let's give them an example. Maybe mm-hmm. let's dialogue back and forth. I'm the healthy, you know, I'm going to be healthy now. You're going to come to me and share this. Mm-hmm. This is what it should sound like in a healthy relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So I come to you and I say, Christy, this really upset me. I really didn't like the way that you spoke to me. And you, Christy, would you want to answer or do you want me to answer? Yeah.
So what I would do
yes.
is I would pause for a minute and I would say, I am so sorry. I would hate for you to feel that way. Would you like to talk about it? And then I would proceed to share with you, you know, I would want to hear from you what you had perceived. So then I could share, oh, sweetie, that wasn't my intention whatsoever. And I do apologize if it was taken that way. You know, how can I make it right?
Yes, that's perfect. Whether it's a friendship or a partnership or anything. And it's about feeling safe enough to go to your partner and have it received. Now, there would have been moments 100% in the relationship that I went to him and he didn't agree with how I was feeling. But like I said, that doesn't matter. I felt that way. He made me feel that way.
But if he doesn't agree, that's okay too, right? It's like for him to say, you know what, sis, I don't agree with you, but tell me what you feel.
Yeah, but it's the second part. So it's about saying, I don't agree with you, but I'm sorry if I made you feel that way.
And I hear you.
I hear you. I see you.
Yeah.
I feel you. What do you need from me? And that's actually a question I ask everyone, whether it's relationship, business, you know, what do you need from me, Christy? What do you need from me to make you feel better or for you not to feel that way? And I'm not saying that when you always go to your partner, you know, they have to agree with you and they have to take accountability. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that communication of I see you, it makes you feel safe. And sometimes, you know, I might go to you, Christy, and say, I know I'm being so ridiculous and I know I shouldn't feel this way and I know that you would never intentionally try and hurt me. But yesterday when you said that, it didn't make me feel good. And you know, it's not hard for you to say, oh my gosh, I see you. I didn't mean it that way. Thank you for letting me know. You know, we have to get better at communicating.
Oh my God, it's everything, isn't it?
It's everything, especially in a world today where we're so consumed with comparison, social media. You know, what are they doing here? What are they doing there? That we have to be safe for our partners to be able to express how they're feeling and know that it's going to be received.
And there's going to be times, right, Vic? I mean, even in healthy relationships, someone's going to fall off the horse because, like, I feel like I'm a very good communicator, but even recently with my own partner, he came to me with something that was bothering him, and I protected and I defended. And he had stated to me later, after I was out of my defense mechanism, that all I just wanted you to do was understand and see it from my perspective, which is exactly what I had always been sharing with him I needed, but I got caught in that trap as well. And I had to sit with it for a while. And then I would finally came, you're right. Yeah, I needed to see it from your perspective. We don't have to agree. I don't agree with you, but I do see your perspective. And the moment when you're triggered and you're hot and it's fiery, it's sometimes hard. So we're not going to make it sound like it's an easy thing to do when you're battling your egos. But you have to, if you do mess up, which you will, the next important thing is going to your partner and saying, I messed up. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You know, it is just about feeling seen and feeling heard. And that's really what a relationship is about. It's about having a safe space with another person that you have decided you want to be a one with, or be a we or an us with. And having a safe place to tell people how you feel. And, you know, something that you just said as well, just as a tip in that situation, is something I've been really working on is emotionally regulating. So being able to move through an emotion really quickly, you know, and that was something that he could not do. And it really affected our relationship and it affected me. And what I mean by that is, you know, we maybe have had an argument about something, which is very normal.
Fighting is good, by the way.
Fighting is good. Expressing emotions is good. But what would happen is he would be in a particular state for days. And he would completely ice me out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having like a physical trauma response.
I'm feeling abandonment come up for me, feeling that. Yeah,
it was so traumatic for me.
Yeah.
Because I then was on eggshells for days and days. So, and we're not talking about any form of large argument. We're talking about, it could be the smallest thing, but he would go into a state, whether it was anger or shutdown or whatever. And because he couldn't emotionally regulate out of it fast or quickly, which is something that you can learn to do, it could take days for him to come back to what reality or back into that emotional state, right? So for days, I would be iced out of my relationship and we would live together. It could be sleeping in a separate room. He would sleep on the couch.
Oh my God.
He
would not speak to me. I'm just getting sick here. I feel like feeling that like 3 days, like I get overwhelmed if it's even for an hour.
Right, right. And so, you know, it could be, I'd be walking on eggshells and I'm a fixer. You're a fixer as well. I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
So some people in the relationship will be the fixer.
Yeah.
And some people will need the space. And neither is bad, but you have to understand, right, if he needs space, what does that look like? If I want to fix it, what does that look like? Well, when I want to fix it, I'm talking within the day. Like, let's not go to bed angry. But space for him would mean I'm going to ice her out for days at a time. And I want to just explain some of the emotions that I would go through when this would happen. Anxiety.
Mm.
Severe, like debilitating anxiety to the point where I couldn't function. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't go to the gym. I couldn't work. And I am in a position in my business where I have to be there for people. And I'm battling, you know, I'd wipe away my tears and get onto a call with somebody to try to fix their problems, right? While I'm going through all of this at home, I would, you know, cook dinner. I'd say, what do you want for dinner? I'd be in this fix it mode. I'd be in this, you know, this mode. And, you know, I would be going through fear. Is he going to leave? When is he going to talk to me? I'd then go into like this state of not begging, but I'd be like, okay, maybe I'll buy him something, or maybe I'll, you know, physically satisfy him. You know, what can I do to hurry this process along so I can get out of this state of fear and anxiety and eggshells? Abandonment, of course. You know, I'm nothing. I'm useless. I'm not loved. I'm not worthy. I'm not important. I'm not seen. I'm not heard. And then I think the hardest part and the thing that upsets me the most looking back at her is I abandoned myself.
Mm.
And I would apologize. And I would say, it's all my fault. I'm sorry. You're right. I need to fix it. I need to go to therapy.
Mm.
So instantly I would go into this place of abandoning who I am, my truth, what I felt, just to get out of this state for days. And then, and I was saying this to you this morning, say, let's say 3 days later, he comes out of it and I'm like, okay, I'm safe. But what would happen is I'd still be on eggshells for a couple days after, because I'm thinking,
well, if it's going to happen again.
Yeah, is it going to happen again? At any point in time, is he going to, you know, do something? At any point in time, is he going to switch, flip again? Or is, you know, I can't say what I want to say. And, you know, sometimes in these situations, I didn't agree with what he said, or I didn't agree with the argument, or I hadn't have even explained my part because he'd gone into this state.
But you abandoned completely yourself.
Yeah. And so I never then felt like I was safe. I never felt like I could speak my truth because I was so worried about this cycle of icing me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always agreed with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that point in your relationship, you have completely lost yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things like, you know, lack of confidence, lack of self-belief, lack of self-love, worth, all of that. Like, I was just this shell of a person, Christy. I can't even recognize her now. I'm sad for her.
Hmm. So, sis, I think what's really interesting, you know my story, and many of my followers do too, listeners, that I had a very similar story to, mm-hmm. to your ex. In similar in the sense there was a lot of abuse, lots of emotional abuse, physical mm-hmm. abuse, drugs, mm-hmm. alcohol, and there nothing was ever safe and secure. But I attracted partners that had safe and secure upbringings because my desire so deeply was to create that environment for myself. So I would attract friends or lovers in that represented everything that I wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the difference. Okay, because we usually attract our opposites.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is when you're with your opposite and they're not really putting in the effort to change. They're not able to recognize, I have some wounding here. Like, if he would have been able to come to you and say, I have a really hard, you know, babe, I have a hard childhood. I took that out on you. It was not yours. Mm-hmm. And I do need therapy to get work through this. And this relationship means so much to me that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to heal it. Mm-hmm. Because I love myself even more than I love you. Mm-hmm. But in order for it to work, I know that I got to take my part. So it's not that because he had a really hard childhood, because somebody might be listening now and say, well, that's me. Mm-hmm. I had a hard childhood. Am I ever going to be lovable? Or I didn't. So I just, you know, it's really, I think, about what kind of effort is your partner putting in? Because I was in a marriage for over 20 years. Beautiful man, kind, safe, secure, good dad. But I would do the abandoned self thing because mm-hmm. I tried so hard to do work with him, like literally begged and begged and begged and begged. And finally, I took responsibility and I said, I'm broken. It's me. Mm-hmm. The reason why we don't have a deep loving connection. And I actually said that to him one day. I said, I am so sorry. Because he'd say, why don't you just come up and hug me? Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I'm sorry. It's me. I'm the broken one. And what I realized was that I was longing so badly for conversation, love, and connection on a very deep, vulnerable, intimate level. And I wasn't getting what my needs met. And it wasn't that, it was just that he wasn't taking responsibility. And I wasn't taking responsibility for saying, okay, we got it. We really do have a problem here. Mm-hmm. We really do. We really can't just have children and have business and pay the bills and think it's going to go away and we're going to live happily ever, ever happy. Yeah. It's not going to happen. And so I think it's interesting because I'm listening to you and there's that fear that comes out of me when I hear like, mm-hmm. oh my God, like I have a lot of shit from my upbringing and I didn't have great modeling, but I've always craved to figure it out and clean it up and clear it out. Did he ever have that desire?
Yeah, he did. And it's so interesting because he really is very personally developed, I would say. I mean, that comes from life experience. Like it does. He has so much more life experience than me. Coming, well,
he couldn't have made it so far to, you know, in his absolutely. Own world.
And you know, he is a great guy. I always say, you know, he's such a great guy. He is a great friend, teammate, athlete. He just wasn't a great partner to me in for the you. End mm-hmm. For me in the end. And what I wanted, and like I said in the beginning, it really was the last 2 years of the relationship. So everything I'm saying was the last 2 years of the relationship. So the 8 years before that, we did work and it was great. And there were amazing moments. He did do the work. We did work. We went to couples therapy after some pretty big things happened in the relationship and after we had some time apart, as you know. And we learned a lot. But by the end of the relationship, for whatever reason, it wasn't implemented.
It wasn't enough.
And, you know, our therapist had said, when you get into this state, to my ex-fiance, they said, when you get into this state, she needs to know a time frame of when you're going to come back. And it doesn't matter what the time frame is, but you've got to tell her. So I'm the kind of person where, you know, if he had said to me, I'm really annoyed or I'm really upset about this, I'm going for a drive. I don't want you to talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I need a couple of hours and I'll be back.
And then we can talk about it.
And then we can talk about it. That would have solved so many of our problems because I would have been able to sit in a state of safety knowing it's going to be okay. He's going to be gone for a couple of hours and then he's going to come talk and we're going to figure it out.
And we're going to work it out.
We're going to work it out. And she had said that. So we kind of established this boundary. And I said to, you know, and my therapist, as she does, said, you know, Victoria, you need to respect that. Okay, so if he says, I'm going for a drive, I don't want you to talk to me for a couple of hours, I'll be back. I then can't be calling him 400 times, sending him filthy messages and doing all of that, right? And so that was my boundary. Cool. We established this in therapy. But then when the situation came up, the emotional regulation couldn't happen for him and it would be days. And I would say, remember when our therapist said not to go to bed angry, which she did say, not to sleep in a different room, which she did say. She said there shouldn't be a point in time where you're not able to figure it out that you're sleeping in another room. He would say, I don't care. Don't talk to me, or whatever his response would be. So we were doing the work, but it's the implementation of the work. You can read all of the books. You can listen to all the podcasts. But if you're not implementing what you're learning, then it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't want to. Maybe he just didn't want to. Maybe he knew and he didn't want to.
This is, it makes me think of Kabbalistic astrology and why I really love leaning into astrology for some of these reasons. Some people know a lot about it and believe in it. Some, like, I don't know anything and I think it's hocus pocus. But one thing I found is certain signs do react very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger son's a Sag and my partner is a Sag. One of my best friends is a Sag. And Sages, they just need their freedom. Mm-hmm. And if they start to feel suffocated, I know your ex was an Aries,
but he was like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you can go into the moon signs and the rising signs, cause those all play a role too, mm-hmm. because we have different, people we're turning into. When you understand too, someone's like just their astrological timing and what their patterns are, like who they are, then it's you take it less personal, mm-hmm. and you recognize that this might be like knowing that I have a partner that's Sag, you know, really committing is a hard thing for Sages to do. And Aries, they're pretty happy if you give them what they want.
You're an Aries.
I'm an Aries. And so if I just get everything I want, you'll get the moon and the stars,
mm-hmm.
and whatever else you want, as many, you know. Well, we won't go into those, but, and so I had to really learn, okay, this really too isn't about me. Some of his triggers that he's having, part of his astrological chart, but also a part of his pain from his past. And, I wanted to bring that up because, my partner and I had a thing recently and it was pretty intense, you know, it was an intense one. And, he had sent me a Michael Singer podcast and Michael Singer had really talked about, when someone pushes a button in you, okay? Because I've recognized I take things personally. Do you?
Yes, to a certain degree.
Loved ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the world cannot like me and I don't care. You know, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like but people you love, yeah. You take it personal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people take things personal. I think if you have a big heart, that's kind of like you care, you take it personal.
Yeah.
So, I can go into taking things too personal. And so I took it too personal. And he had shared this podcast with me that Michael Singer was saying, when someone's gotten very angry with you, that you've pushed a button inside of them.
They're over the edge.
They're over the edge and mm-hmm. you've pushed a button.
Yep.
And my pattern is, like you, I would just want to fix it. Let's just heal it. Okay. Let's be done. Dot, dot, dot. Okay. We're good. Let's go have some tea. Right. But they're pushed now. And if you take it personally, you're just going to add fuel to the fire. So if you're able to step outside of that experience and just say, well, isn't this interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is an experience. Oh my goodness. What an experience this is. Isn't this kind of fun to watch? What's not fun that this person's mm-hmm. in turmoil, but this isn't mine. And I'm just going to sit here and just let this go by. But my overly dramatic self would say, oh my gosh, I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. Why is he so mad at me? He's going to abandon. He's going to run. He's going, you know, like all the things, the feelings that mm-hmm. you are having. And then the guilt and shame for feeling those things mm-hmm. come through. And then there's sadness. You have go out through all these feelings. And then, you know, I cry when I really, you know, I never used to cry. And now I cry all the time. You know, if something moves me. And I mean, how many times have I cried with you? When you
a lot, but we were just crying on the podcast.
We you just guys on the couldn't podcast. See it. It's so good to cry. Like, I mean, not in a victim mode. I'm, you know, everyone hurts me all the time. That's not healthy. Mm-hmm. But it's healthy to cry. It's healthy, like, to show emotion in a positive way or if you need to release something. But anyway, I guess I share that because I think that's one tool that was really beneficial for me to not take it so personally, that hold space for this soul. And that's what I felt like you did for so long in your partnership, but it just wasn't making as big of an impact. And that's when you kind of know, right?
Like, yeah, and I think it also wasn't reciprocated. So when you were talking, you just reminded me of something that our therapist actually told us, which is, you know, we have to understand each other's triggers as well.
Right.
You know, we have to understand how each other operate, because, you know, for my relationship, we were polar opposites. And so I had to understand, right, this is what happens for him, this is what happens for me. And I got to a point where I was accepting all of the things that would trigger him, and I would implement, you know, tools to support him, and I'd do the inner work to say, you know, it's not personal, it's not about me, you know, this sort of thing. But he didn't come to the plate for me. So I want to give you an example. So with the icing me out, mm-hmm. What our therapist told us, and you would know this, is when you come from trauma, when you come from a traumatic childhood, especially if there's any form of violence, and you're a child, and when you see it, you go into this state of complete shutdown. Your nervous system completely shuts down, right? So she related it to if you were an animal in Africa and you're being hunted by the lion or whoever. Animals often lay on the ground and they play dead. And they play dead and their entire body physically shuts down until the lion has gone to get the prey that's alive, right? And my therapist was saying, when you have come from that trauma, often when you're triggered by something, you completely shut down. Like, you just completely shut down. And that's the kind of personality that you have, and it's a trigger and it's a trauma, right? So he would sleep. We would have an argument or something, and he would sleep. He would just completely shut down and sleep for 12 hours. Whereas, you know, for someone like me, I couldn't even think about sleeping when I'm in that state. If I've got anxiety, like, the last thing I want to do is just go to bed, right? But it was his mechanism. It was his way of processing. So because I knew that, I then was like, okay, this is his way of processing. Let's respect that. Let's do the work for me so that I can allow him to heal and move through the emotion as he needs to, right? But the problem was, I also had my way of coping or my way of dealing or my way of responding, which he never came or worked on his stuff to support me in the way that I reacted. So like I said before, I need reassurance. I need fixing. I need at least for you to say, babe, I'm not leaving you, but I'm not happy right now, and I need to do my thing, like I said before, but I'll be back. That's what I needed. So the same way that I was respecting what he and how his trauma response was, he wasn't giving me what my trauma response was. And that was a massive, massive breakdown in the relationship. Hmm. Because had he have just been able to say, I want to reassure you of this, and, you know, I had asked him many times. I had said, when this happens, I just need you to tell me you're safe, I love you, I'm not happy, I need to work through this, but I'll be back. And going back to the gaslighting, he would say to me, that's your stuff. That's your things to handle. That's your childhood trauma that you need to work through. You shouldn't need that from me. That's not my responsibility.
What'd your therapist say about that?
Well, she said that he should be reassuring me. It's mm-hmm. not a lot to ask.
Right.
Do you know how easy that is to reassure somebody that you supposedly love?
Yeah.
So I, not only was I abandoning what I needed to support the way that he handled his trauma, mm-hmm. but now I'm abandoning my needs by saying, you're right, I shouldn't need you to reassure me. I shouldn't need you to tell me that I'm loved. I shouldn't need you to respond in the way that I need you to respond. I should be better. I should do more work. I should go to more therapy. So instantly I'm abandoning on both sides, Christy.
Yeah.
I'm abandoning myself and what I need, but then I'm, you know, stepping up to what he needs at the same time. It's like a double whammy. You know, he's getting what he wants both sides. He's getting the space and the respectful boundary around his trauma response. And then he's getting what he needs, which is, I don't want to reassure her. That's not my job.
Hmm. So partners out there, if you're him or her, if you're that, the person that she's talking about right now, and you want to heal it, she's just giving you a big clue. Like, go to your partner and have more conversations around what are your needs.
You have to have those conversations, and it should be established really early on.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I'm single. I haven't been single for a very long time. And going into a new relationship, there will be fundamental things that have to be
non-negotiables
for me. Yeah. I will not abandon these fundamental things, which are security, safety, communication, alignment, just these fundamental things that really should not be much to ask.
Yeah.
But you have to establish these things. Christy, what triggers you? What makes you feel unsafe? What makes you feel unloved? Right? And you will say, you know, so something for me, for example, consistency is really important to my safety. My ex-fiance was not consistent at all. He wouldn't show up on time. He would say he was going to do something and he didn't. He was unreliable a lot of the time. I constantly felt like I was in my masculine. I constantly felt like I was, you know, having to deal with everything. I couldn't even rely on him to pay a bill on time. So there was a point in time where I just stopped expecting or stopped asking, really. So what happened was then everything's mounting up on top of me. You know, I'm the mother, I'm the carer, I'm the, you know, the businesswoman. I'm everything. And I've got no reprieve. I've got no one to emotionally make me feel safe or you know, all of those things. And I just want to say, when I say safety, I do not in any way mean physical safety, because that I was always safe there. But it was this emotional, like, I can't rely on him to do anything for me. I can't. Yeah. So he was inconsistent, which is a huge thing for me now. He was inconsistent in, he would go out all night and not message me. He would go out all night and not tell me where he was. I would say, the only thing I need from you, you go out, you have fun with your friends. Obviously, he was an athlete. You do whatever you want to do. You spend as much money as you want to spend. I'm not asking to do anything. The only thing I need is for you to send me a message every couple of hours so that when I wake up at 3 a.m. and you're not home, I can check my phone and say, oh, half an hour ago, he was still at the club. And he would not do this for me. It was too much to ask. So I'm dealing with this inconsistency for 10 years. And so going into the next relationship, the boundary will be, if you are inconsistent, that's not going to work for me. It just will not work. So then you have the conversation with the new person that you're dating, or if you're getting serious into a relationship, well, what does that look like to you? What does consistency look like to you? Because it looks different for everybody. And I would say, if you say you're going to be somewhere, you're there. Or you communicate with me where you are, right? Mm-hmm. I need you to show up for me. I need, and that could be by a phone call. It could be physically showing up for me, right? Because he didn't, you know, my ex relationship didn't show up for me ever. You know, it means when you say you're going to call, you call. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. When you say you're going to book a weekend away, you book it. And it doesn't come to Friday after work and you end up staying home because he hasn't bothered to do that, right? So those are fundamental things that I would have that conversation in my new relationship. And if that person said, well, I don't know if I can be consistent for you, they are not the one for me. And that's fine.
Okay, so there's so much good stuff here.
I know. There's so much. I mean, we've been talking about this for days.
Oh my God.
We need 7 episodes.
I think this will probably be the biggest, the biggest listened to podcast, because I think we don't get this information. We don't get taught how to be in relationship. And that's why 65% end in divorce.
And I think also we don't see it.
We don't get it modeled
for us. We don't get it modeled for us, especially now that I think it's probably going to get better because we have access to so much more information.
And listen, you know, I'll only speak for myself. Guys, I don't want you to think that there is this perfect relationship out there, because all relationships do require effort and work. And even in my current relationship, oh my gosh, we couldn't have been from 2 different worlds. Mm-hmm. He spoke a different language, you know, or it was this, you know, US is his, English is his second language. So there was cultural differences. There were so many things. And you know, he wasn't always consistent because it wasn't a part of his culture. Mm-hmm. And consistency was such a big thing for me. And we had to work through that. We had to talk about that. And the difference was, is that he may have fought against it because he felt like he was having it to change who he was. Mm-hmm. Okay, because a lot of men will say, well, I'm not going to change for her, right? Or I'm not going to change for them. I always want to challenge that because it's been kind of a saying that's been said for so long. Change, if we're not changing, we're not growing.
Well, I would say that change is growth.
Change is everything.
It's everything.
So when a person says, I'm not going to change for them. No, change for you. Mm-hmm. Change to have a better you. Mm-hmm. And when you have a better you, you'll have a better relationship. And so we had to work through that. And he then got that. And then all of a sudden he's consistent. He's on time. He's calling. He's checking in.
And a lot of these things, Christy, are not hard. Like, it is not hard to say to your partner, this means a lot to me, if you say you're going to be here, that you're here.
Yeah.
Like that, we're not talking about these huge things, but what can happen, what happened in my relationship was because those things were so consistently not happening, you know, it just caused this friction all the time. And I ended up just saying, okay, well, I'll let that one go. And even though security is really important to me, maybe I can get that from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and security and safety is so important to me because that's what I had in my dad.
Well, but I was actually going to say, every relationship coach out there will tell you, for women, girl, you know, for women, we have to have certainty. Mm-hmm. And we have to have security. Mm-hmm. So we have to feel safe, secure, certainty. Men, they need to know that you trust them and they need freedom. So what was happening for you is he had all the trust in the world. He had all the freedom in the world, but you weren't feeling safe. You weren't feeling secure. And that's where there was a major breakdown in the mechanics of the relationship there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last 2 years, oh, it just broke down. It did. And
it's like a car. If you don't take care of it, it's going to break down.
Yeah.
And it's taking responsibility. And here's hopefully what happens. I mean, we always want the best for our past lovers and friends, is that they grow from it. Mm-hmm. And then they glow from it. They'll work out their stuff, and then they'll be an exceptional partner for somebody, right, in the future, and they'll have a really happy, fulfilling life. And we only want that for every soul on the planet. I know we've dug in so much here, Vic. You've shared so vulnerably, so openly, so lovingly, and I know so many lives are being transformed. That's why our stories are so powerful to share, because I know someone's going to be healed by what you have to say. In closing today, what are some different things that you did to help yourself to heal? Mm. Did you feel a lot of pain? Did you cry? Did you get therapy? What did you do?
All the things, honestly. You know, I want to be really transparent and really honest in saying, when I decided to leave the relationship, there was 2 years of grieving the loss of what was. So I didn't have possibly the same length of post-relationship grieving, maybe, that a lot of people have. You know, I was sad. Absolutely. It was the final closing of what I thought my life would be. But I wasn't, you know, I said this to you this morning, you know, 5-6 months on, I feel absolutely nothing for him. There is not one part of me. I mean, I could see him walking down the street with a new woman and it wouldn't even make me feel anything. And that's very quick after a 10-year relationship. And I recognize that. But what people don't realize, and which is why I'm
you were opening, out a long time
I was,
ago.
I was struggling for so long. I was unhappy for so long. I was in trauma for so long. I was in survival for 2 years. It had been breaking down. We were unhappy. We were trying to make it work. We were putting on a brave face, but it was not where it was ever going to go. Like, we couldn't come back, right? We couldn't come back. And so when the final thing happened, and, you know, I just, someone the other day sent me an Instagram message saying, how did you know? Like, how did you know after 10 years that it was the time? And I think I was always waiting for a moment that I couldn't come back from. a moment, and I get emotional thinking about it, like just there needed to be a moment for me that I felt like I could never go back, because who would I be to allow someone to do that to me and to keep treating me this way? And that moment happened in January, where he didn't show up for me in one of the most important times in my life. And that was the moment that I thought I could never come back from this, because if I allowed myself to go back to someone who could treat me like this, then I have completely lost myself. And I don't know if she'll ever be okay. I will have told her that she was nothing if I allowed myself to go back to someone that could do something like that to me. So I needed a moment. And you might be waiting for the moment, and you'll know. You'll know. Because I was struggling to let go of the story. I was struggling to let go of the great 8 years we had before it all fell apart. I was holding on to maybe we can change, maybe we can do the work. And I was in so much fear of being alone, but I wasn't in fear of being without him. And I think that's something maybe you could ask yourself as well. Are you in fear of being alone, or are you in fear of being without that person? And I was not in fear of being without him. In fact, the thought of not being with him was relieving. But I didn't think I could be alone. So when I came back to my apartment after I'd made the decision to leave, I went on a trip to Maui with you for 10 days. And I came back, and in that time, I had asked him to move out. I'd asked him for space. I'd said I didn't want to talk to him again. And he had moved out, and I walked into my apartment, Christy, and I will tell you, it was the first time I could breathe in 2 years. Mm. I felt relief. I felt peace. I felt safe in the quiet and the fact that he was gone and the energy was gone. Now, of course, it was different. Of course, it was sad. I cried. Like, I did all of those things. But some of the things that I've been working on is self-love and rebuilding the love for myself, because like I said, I abandoned her so often. I told her she wasn't important. I told her she wasn't loved. I told her that she didn't matter. I'm only crying because you're crying. And because I had told her that, that's what I believed about myself. So I knew that the only way that I could heal was to tell myself that I was worth it. And then I was loved. And that's where the work started for me, because I didn't have to get over him. I had to get over how I had treated myself and how I had allowed myself to be treated. And so that was like a mission for me. So I did the therapy, and I spoke to the right people who I could speak to without judgment, who would love me unconditionally. But the healing came from this deep, rich compassion and empathy
for self.
Whoa, that was some good stuff right there. There was my Kansas coming out. I was relating it to my divorce, and of course I had fallen in love. The universe forced me out. You'll either get the divorce or you'll be divorced out. I was forced out for sure. And, I realized I didn't cry when I left. Mm-hmm. I actually remember when I got into my new apartment, I was like, I saw a bird in a cage being released. Mm-hmm. And I had the biggest smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And then I started feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. That I should actually be crying. I should feel something.
I did feel like that a little bit as well. And I spoke about this in one of my podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, why am I not more upset? Why am I not sadder? You know, and him, as you know, him and I haven't spoken a word, not one word, mm-hmm. since I walked out. Well, he walked out the door first, and then I walked out the door.
Yeah.
And then he packed up his stuff. We haven't seen each other. We haven't spoken a word. He wrote me a letter that I've never read. I've never told anybody that. I didn't read it, because when I walked back into the apartment, the peace and the safety I felt was so profound and so new that I thought reading the letter could
draw you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make you feel like you,
or make me feel a certain way. Yeah. I never would have gone back. I can tell you now, there is absolutely nothing he could have done.
Well, yeah, that's definitely my ex husband also wrote me, and I just, there was nothing there. Like, and so I think I brought that up because the
sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, no. Where, that's how we roll.
Yes.
How we don't take offense. But the woman or man that wrote you and said, how do you know when you know? You know.
Yeah.
You just know it's done. And that's why, and my spiritual mentors always say that never leave. And I know you got to a breaking point.
Mm-hmm. My spirit was completely broken. It was done. Broken.
But my mentors have told me never leave when you're in the middle of complete chaos, because you can't even think straight.
Yes.
So they always say, just wait for a few days.
Process. Emotionally regulate.
And then be able to come back and be able to, you know, talk through it or whatever. And if you keep trying to heal it after not, you know, not being in chaos and it doesn't work, then you just, mm-hmm. then you know, you've given it 100% and it's not, mm-hmm. if you've given 100% to your relationship and you're not getting it back, well, my friends, it's probably time.
And that was, I mean, that's what I say. There was that 2 years. Yeah. That was just
100%.
And then the last 6 months was like breaking my spirit.
You had your foot on the freaking pedal of your relationship life, full speed, throttle. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I, we didn't get to the top of our professions because we're lazy mm-hmm. and slackers. We know when we commit to something, mm-hmm. we're going to become the very best possible version of that we can mm-hmm. be. So, and if you're that person, I believe in you. We believe in mm-hmm. you, because just because maybe your relationship isn't where you want it to be doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It just means like you've got to, you know, keep giving 100% and you're going to know. Mm-hmm. Exhaust every possible outlet you can. And then if that doesn't work, then it's likely time to move on.
Yeah. And I think I just... I trusted the universe. I trusted mm-hmm. that it wasn't meant to be. Yeah. I think I trusted that, you know, if it was meant to be, it wouldn't have been that hard. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have felt the way I felt. Like when I tell you, Christy, like my spirit was broken.
Yeah. Well, listen, sis, you're one of the most beautiful people I've ever met. Period.
Thank you.
Period. Otherwise you wouldn't be in my life right now. I really choose mine, my flock wisely. But relationships are meant to be challenging.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this over and over again, and you've said it many times. Mm. If you don't have equal effort on the other partner's part, something's wrong.
But I also think that there can be beauty in the challenge as well.
Absolutely.
Like there are those moments where you're like, oh, we overcame it.
And we can get through anything.
But that wasn't where we were.
That's my point.
So it was hard, but it was hard. It wasn't fun ever. Like that, the hard wasn't hard. Like, you know, those moments in business where it's hard, but it's fun. And it feels good.
Going up the mountain.
Yeah. And you feel aligned and you're like, I know this is hard, but that's not what our growth looks like. Right. I wish it did. Well, you know, maybe I don't wish it did. But at the time, I was hoping for more. So the growth and the hard was not fun for us.
Of course it's. We of course that stuff is not fun. No. It's fun, but it's not when you're going through it. Because every fear that's there comes up.
Like we didn't have the after moment.
Afterwards, like, oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't have that. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
It was hard, and then the same thing would happen.
You're not cuddling afterwards and saying, I'm so proud of you.
I'd face the hard again.
Yeah.
And I'd face the hard again. And because, you know, when you know what something's like, you just become in fear of having to go through it again.
Oh, of course.
And I went through it over and over and over and over and over again. I was like, here we go again, another 3 days. Here we go again, another week. I know what this looks like. I know how to defuse this situation now. Like that's what it came to. Mm. And when you're at that place, and what I'll finish off by saying is when you're in a place in your relationship where you are bringing out the worst in each other, for me, that's where it ends. And that's where we were. We were bringing out the versions of each other that we most feared?
So it's interesting because I'll share with you my perspective.
Please.
If you don't mind.
Please.
Because I've had this conversation with my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really confused by that because I always thought, well, listen, if we're bringing out the worst in each other, maybe we're really not meant for each other.
Interesting.
That's what mm-hmm. I thought, right? Because my ex-husband, we didn't bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah, true.
We just didn't. I mean, it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't easy. I mean, but it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
But my spiritual mentor said, there are these souls that come into your life. And they are absolutely 100% designed to be your tikkun partner. Tikkun means they're going to bring up everything that's a mirror, everything that's inside of you that needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference in now is that where I used to get on my calls with my teachers and say, oh my God, we just have a broken relationship. Why isn't this working? Like, why does it seem like everybody else's relationship is so awesome and healthy? And this one is, we have one minute we absolutely madly love each other, and the next minute we just want to freaking run away. Mm-hmm. And they're like, good. You're
fighting for it.
You're fighting for it. Mm-hmm. You two are seeing there's no other human on the planet that's going to be able to pull that out in that soul, but you each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difference is not reacting. The difference is going inside and taking 100% responsibility for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not me pointing it on Gonzalo and saying, I feel this way because of you.
Yes.
And that was something you need to change. Like, if you didn't do that, then I would not be doing this.
That's gaslighting as well, in a form. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we both had to come to that understanding of like, okay, he would say, okay, I'm going to take responsibility for this part. Sometimes it takes a little bit, but mm-hmm. I'm going to take responsibility. And I'm like, I take responsibility too.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually do this thing with each other and we'll say, well, how could you have done it differently? And I'll go, oh, well, I probably could have come to you in this way and said it this way. And he's like, yes, well, I could have done it differently by doing it this way. And then we're like, okay, beautiful. So next time when that happens, we're going to have a different way. We're going to remember this moment. So then we'll come at it in a different way. And there's been times that we've been triggered again, because in our spiritual teachings, it teaches you're going to get triggered 3 times on the same thing.
Before you learn.
Before you heal it.
Heal it. Yeah.
And so it's literally like, just be prepared. You think you've healed it. And then all of a sudden you're going to get the test. Yeah. You're going to get the test. And there will be 3 tests that will come in different, new level, new devil. Okay. So it just means like whatever level you're at, like if you have an insecurity in your relationship, you're going to get a chance to be triggered in the insecurity, and you have to be able to recognize it for what it is and say, oh my gosh, pause. What an opportunity right now for me to heal this. This is trigger number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pass this test. I am safe. I am secure. Mm-hmm. I am loved. Okay, great. Guess what?
I mean,
number 2's coming. Number 3's coming. And then by the time number 3's done, if you have cleaned it up for yourself, you and God have worked on it together.
Yeah.
That one's gone. So have you ever had something where one day you woke up and you're like, I don't even feel that anymore?
I have. Yes. And you know, this is why I love having conversations with people like you and people on our wavelength, because I love that shift in perspective, because I do think it's important to be able to show your partner all versions of you 100%. And I think it can be healthy. And I think there were points in my relationship where it was healthy and we did work through some things. And you know, the last thing I want to say, and honestly, we could talk for so long about this. How are we going?
Oh,
it's
man.
Long.
I don't even know what's long here.
She's putting her glasses on to check.
Holy moly.
It's long. We can.
It's all good. But I think everybody is really grateful for this.
Okay
we're good.
I love listening to long podcasts. But, you know, something a tool that I would recommend to anybody, you know, in possibly my situation, whatever it looks like to you, is I had to tell myself that I had to choose my heart. Because everything in life is hard, right? Every decision. For you to leave your marriage, Christy, and have 3 children go through a divorce, that was hard. But staying in a loveless marriage, whatever the circumstances is for you, was harder. So decision A, decision B, column A, column B, they're always going to be hard. But which is going to be harder, and which is going to be harder in the long run? And that was something for me. Like, it was hard to leave my relationship of 10 years. But it was harder to stay and to live in that state of fear and anxiety, fear in terms of emotional. That was harder for me. You know, it was hard to realize I was going to be alone, but it was harder, and I'm going to say this and I want you to listen, as you always do, but it was harder to stay in a relationship and feel alone because I felt alone in the relationship. I would be sitting on the couch next to him and I felt alone. So that was harder than for me to actually be alone. So I want, you know, for anyone listening, like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to fight for it. But is it harder to walk away? And I know for you, you know, in your current relationship, which is so beautiful, you know, is it harder to fight through the growth or is it harder to walk away? And I know it's harder to walk away. You wouldn't be fighting for it if it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Both of you. And I've said that in for both of you. So every decision is going to be hard in one way or the other. But one decision is going to be harder and one decision is going to be harder in the long run as well.
I freaking love every aspect of this message today, and choosing your heart is such a great way to end this. I want to just share as we're closing a story really quickly, because you know, everybody knows I'm the story time girl.
I love story time.
My story time
with Christy. Coffee with Christy.
Right? That brings back the old school days.
Yes, yeah. That's before we were friends, but I knew you.
So funny. And you know, what's interesting about that is I would always get these inspirations and downloads and I thought, oh my God, I got to put on my makeup before I can go on live. And Spirit one day said, no, just get on in your robe on your with a towel. Who cares? Just talk.
It was some of my favorite things.
That's
I've
what
learned.
Everybody says. It's crazy.
You should bring it back.
Yeah, I should. So, right before I decided to leave my marriage, my grandmother, my 83-year-old grandmother was visiting. And she knew something was up. She knew. And we went to this little park together. We were watching the ducks and having this moment together. And I said, Grandma, do you miss Grandpa? Because he had just passed away a couple years ago. And she sat there real quiet. And my grandma, just so you know, there is nobody that loves the Bible more than my grandma. And she loves Jesus. She loves you. She loves everybody. She just loves.
Southern woman?
She's a Midwest girl.
Okay.
She loves.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat there really silent. And she looks at me. She says, you know, Christy, I loved your grandpa. He was such a nice man. We were married for over 50 some years. But Christy, I was lonely my entire marriage. He never talked to me. And I looked into the water. I've never heard my grandma be so vulnerable. And I said, that's my life.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment I decided, nope, not now, not ever. I'm not going to be grandma one day and say I was lonely my whole life.
Oof.
And so guys,
wow.
We need to have these conversations. We need to hear each other's stories, not because we're encouraging anyone right now. This is a disclaimer. We're not encouraging you to go leave a relationship. No. We are saying have crucial conversations, be vulnerable, share what your needs are. Don't abandon self.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, Victoria.
Thank you so much for having me. And you know, I love you so much and thank you for creating this safe space for me as well. I've only recently started opening up about it. I've really wanted to be respectful for him and to him because I love him very, very much, or I loved him very much. And he's not a bad person at all. He's a fantastic person. He just was not the right person for me. And I know that he will meet somebody who's absolutely beautifully aligned with him. And so I just wanted to say that because this is not about making somebody out to be a certain way. This is about sharing my journey to help others. And, you know, I'm happy and I'm the happiest and most aligned and most at peace and most safe and most confident I've been in so long. And so there is hope on the other side for anybody going through it. There's hope and it gets better. You got to be brave.
And a lot of times it probably, I know it took you leaving for him to probably get the help he needed. Because I know that's what happened with my ex-husband. It required me leaving before he got help to learn how to be vulnerable. And so he started going to men's groups and he went and got his degree and he started doing all but these things.
Isn't that beautiful?
And that's
a gift you gave him.
That's the gift I gave him. And that's the gift you gave your ex that now is his opportunity to dig in and to go deep.
I love that.
Thank you, my love. And everyone, you can follow Miss Victoria McHugh. Your new podcast is called Becoming Her.
Mm-hmm. Becoming Her with Victoria McHugh on Spotify, Apple, all of the things. It's new. And Christy will be on my Becoming Her podcast as well. And then on Instagram, it's just at Victoria A. McHugh. So
I'm loving you and I'm loving what you're doing. I love the transformation. Not only are you making in your life, but now you're empowering so many other lives to step into becoming the very best versions of him or her that they want. And so we love you. We'll see you all again next week. And I'm just so grateful for you guys. Don't forget to like us, share us, and know that you are loved and we celebrate you becoming her or becoming him. Bye, everyone.